Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 and 9-month FY26 earnings conference call of Concord Biotech Limited, hosted by Antique Stock Broking. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements do not guarantee the future performance of the company, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sumit Gupta from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you all to the Q3 and 9-month FY26 earnings conference call of Concord Biotech Limited. We thank the management of Concord Biotech for providing us with the opportunity to host this earnings call. From the company today, we have Mr. Ankur Vaid, Joint Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Raviraj Karia, CFO, and Mr. Prakash Sajnani, AVP Accounts and Finance. I would now like to invite Mr. Ankur Vaid to give his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. So we delivered a steady performance during the quarter, reporting revenues of rupees 278 crores, representing 14% year-on-year growth. For the 9-month period, revenues declined by 5%, primarily due to challenges in H1 arising from uncertainty on global trade due to U.S. tariff dynamics, delay in written confirmation from CDSCO, and the deferral on tender-based supplies in the Middle East market. Importantly, these headwinds were largely timing-related rather than structural. Let me give an update on how these situations are evolving now. So we have started the. So firstly, I would like to express my gratitude to the. Sorry, one second. Sorry on that. So we have also started with Stelon Biotech, our subsidiary to the. Our U.S. subsidiary to drive marketing. So uncertainties around tariffs and global trade dynamics temporarily disrupted customer procurement patterns and delayed second-source opportunities as customers waited for greater geopolitical stability before making firm decisions. However, following clarifications that tariffs do not apply to generic products, order momentum began to recover. Now, with the U.S. trade deal taking shape, we are seeing increased engagement and more advanced discussions around larger second-source supply opportunities and CDMO partnerships. Written confirmation approval delay from CDSCO, which did not allow us to sell in the European market for a couple of months, was received in early November, which has resumed the supplies back to normal. However, the ramp-up will happen in a gradual manner. Last being deferment of tender-based supplies to the Middle East market was kept on hold on account of geopolitical tensions. This is currently status quo, and we are monitoring it closely. Having said that, we will be the preferred supplier to them, and once this is resumed, we will be able to recoup the revenues from this tender. We have also seen India-EU free trade agreement announced earlier this year, and we view this as a positive long-term development. This agreement enhances access to one of the world's largest and most regulated healthcare markets and strengthens India's position as a global manufacturing hub. Given our established presence in the EU market, we see this as a strategic opportunity over the medium to long term. Also, we would like to mention the Union Budget, which is broadly supportive of the sector. Of particular relevance is the Biopharma Shakti Initiative, a rupees 100 billion five-year program aimed at strengthening India's biopharmaceutical ecosystem. Its emphasis on R&D, talent development, manufacturing capabilities, and faster regulatory approval aligns with our fermentation API expertise and supports long-term visibility. While spillovers from earlier disruptions are expected to materialize gradually with all positive developments across the industry, we believe the Q4 will be stronger. This is also reflected in our Q3 performance, where revenues grew by 14% on a year-on-year basis. Speaking about key highlights for the quarter, our injectable facility has received WHO GMP certification, which will enable us to sell in the domestic market via our own brand and contract manufacturing opportunities. Our initial focus remains on the domestic market with plans to expand into emerging markets following the necessary regulatory approvals. We have taken meaningful steps towards building this as a long-term growth platform for the company. The facility has a peak revenue potential of approximately 600 crores. We have incorporated Concord LifeGen Limited, a wholly owned subsidiary, to further strengthen our marketing, sales, and distribution capabilities in India. We have also started with Stellon Biotech, our US subsidiary, to drive marketing, distribution, and commercialization of our products in the US, creating a direct commercial footprint and supporting global market expansion. From pipeline perspective, we have completed DMF for nystatin and voclosporin last year, and during the current year, as previously communicated, we plan to launch two new products, primarily in the anti-infective segment, which offers large volumes, niche positioning, and limited competition. Moving on to margins, profitability during the 9-month period was impacted on account of startup costs associated with the commercialization of our injectable facility. That said, our core API and formulations business continues to operate with stable unit economics. Excluding injectables-related startup costs and costs associated with our US subsidiary, EBITDA margins remain in the range of 40% for Q3 and 9-month FY26. As the injectable business scales up over the coming quarters, we expect this temporary margin impact to gradually normalize. Moving to segmental performance, in Q3 FY26, API revenues were at Rs. 219 crores, representing growth of 24% on a year-on-year basis. These figures exclude inter-unit sales to our formulation business. On the formulation front, revenue stood at Rs. 58 crores compared to Rs. 68 crores in Q3 FY25. On the leadership front, we are pleased to welcome Mr. Raviraj Karia as our Chief Financial Officer. He brings over 2 decades of experience in the pharmaceutical and healthcare sector, and his experience will further strengthen our leadership team. In summary, during Q3, we witnessed a gradual improvement in volumes, despite it being a seasonably softer quarter due to holiday period and year-end closure in our key regulated markets. We are entering Q4 with greater optimism and a stronger growth momentum. While FY26 is expected to remain below our historical averages, primarily due to the challenges encountered in the first half, we anticipate that FY27 and beyond will reflect a normalization in performance and regaining back the momentum, at least to our historical averages. Over the medium to long term, Concord remains well positioned to deliver sustained growth through injectables, CDMO, new product launches, and continued market share gains. With strong regulatory credentials, differentiated manufacturing capabilities, disciplined capital allocation, and expanding growth engines, we remain confident in our long-term strategy. With this, I hand over the call to Raviraj Karia, our CFO, for financial and operational performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Ankur, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. First, I would like to express my gratitude to the Concord board and the management team for welcoming me into the Concord Biotech family. I'm truly excited to join the organization at such a pivotal time. With a strong foundation and clear vision for growth, I look forward to closely working with the leadership team to strengthen the financial discipline, enhance the transparency, support the strategic initiatives that will drive the growth long-term value for the stakeholders. Let me take you to the financials and operational performance for the quarter. On a revenue front, our revenues for the quarter 3, financial year 26, stood at 278 crores as compared to rupees 244 crores in the same period last year, witnessing a growth of 14%. Our revenues for 9 months, financial year 26, stood at 729 crores as compared to rupees 770 crores in the same period last year, with a degrowth of 5%. The revenue from API business stood at 219 crores in this quarter against rupees 177 crores during the same period last year, with a growth of 24%. Revenue in nine months financial year 26 for the formulation business, formulation business in this quarter stood at 58 crores as compared to 68 crores in the same period last year. Formulation revenues for 9 months of financial year 26 stood at rupees 164 crores. Revenue from our domestic and export business grew collectively by 14% in quarter 3 versus last year's quarter. Now, speaking on the EBITDA for this quarter stood at 99 crores as compared to 98 crores in the same period last year. EBITDA for 9 months 26 stood at 249 crores. EBITDA margin for this quarter stood at 35.6%. EBITDA margins were largely impacted on account of expenses related to the commercialization of new injectable facilities and also on account of expenses related to the setting up of subsidiaries in the US market. Excluding these impacts, EBITDA margin for quarter 3 and 9 months financial year 26 stood at 40%. On profit after tax, our profit after tax for this quarter stood at 64 crores as compared to 76 crores in the same period last year. Profit after tax was impacted on account of impact of new labor costs, the extent of rupees 3 crores, and also there was a higher other income of rupees 15 crores in quarter 3, 25, compared to rupees 10 crores in the quarter 3 this year. If we exclude these impacts, there would have been a higher growth in profit after tax numbers compared to what was seen. We are a zero debt company with an with investments, bank balance, and cash and cash equivalents to the tune of 1,263 crores as on December 31st, 2025. With this, I shall now leave the floor open for the question and answer.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Chintan Seth from Greek Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations, Raviraj ji, for joining Concord Board. My first question, Ankur, is on, you know, the growth which you mentioned that FY26 will not be, you know, grow as per the historical trends which we have been growing. So on beyond FY26, how do you see you know, business momentum going on? How confident you are? You know, the external factors which we have faced this year in particular would not be you know, what gives you the confidence that we will be back to our normal growth? That's one. And second, on the labor code which we have kind of provided provision of 3 crore, that is on a retrospective basis we have taken the provision, but if you can provide going forward, how should one look at on the recurring basis the impact of new labor code to our finances? These are two, and I'll jump back.
So let me first talk about in terms of the growth. So, you know, historically, if you see, we have grown at around 18% or so. And during our previous many interactions, what we have said is that the way that we look at growth over the next few years is that we and, you know, while the injectables can do a much larger business, but we have considered, you know, half of the business over the next 3 to 5 years, which contribute to around 6% growth. And then we had also considered growth coming in from the CDMO because of enough capacities available, and considering that how globally India is becoming more favorable for fermentation compared to, say, Europe or China. So there was a 6% growth that we had kind of taken it over a medium-term period. So if you put together your baseline growth of 18 and the 6% from injectables and that of CDMO, you reach to 30%. And, you know, in our previous discussions, we've also said that there could be years where you would see these kind of challenging environments, because of which we kind of, you know, toned it down to, say, a CAGR of 25% once these two growth drivers start kicking in at full capacity. Till that time, you would see gradual movement going from the 18% to the 25% CAGR. Now, with the introduction of new products across the fermentation and us taking different initiatives across formulations and gaining more market share, because in the last 3 to 4 months, we have also gained significant accounts business across multiple products. So all these when factored in together gives us a lot of optimism that the return, that the growth can return to the historical CAGR, and there could be potential upside which could be there on account of injectable facility where we have, you know, as I mentioned recently, now got the WHO GMP approval, and soon we will be engaging with the customers to kind of qualify this facility for their contract manufacturing as well, while we launch the products into the domestic market under our own brand name as well. So I think all these factors put together gives us confidence that the next year we will be at least doing our historical CAGR, and with favorable positioning on the other matters, we could be slowly and steadily inching towards you know, the CAGR that we have set to be there over the next 3 to 5 years.
So, Ankur, just a follow-up on injectables. Given we will be focusing on domestic, do we have to incur a little bit more to develop the, you know, on-ground team? Because I believe this injectable products will be directly supplied to hospital chains, right? That was our initial understanding. And for that, do we have to incur a little bit more on marketing, a little bit more on, you know, developing that business and the domestic part, and that will also have some impact on our margins overall?
So, not really, because, you know, we already have a field force for the critical care division. And, you know, close to around 100-120 people are there for the critical care segment. and they are supplying to the large corporate hospitals, mid corporate hospitals, government institutions, nursing homes, pan India. So we are selling our own branded generics. So once we have kind of moved the manufacturing in house, I think that has given and that continues to give a lot of confidence to the doctors that now the entire value chain is being controlled in house rather than we relying on third party manufacturers. Because for some of the key products earlier it was our API, but we were using a third party manufacturer while doing the marketing on our own. But now with our own manufacturing, many of the core products would now be shifted in house, and I think that would give a lot of confidence to the doctors and also help us grow the business in the domestic market for the trade. Now, also for the government institution, if you see, that is also a very, very large segment, which was currently being untapped by us because only manufacturers can participate to supply the government market.
Mm-hmm.
So with us being a manufacturer now, in a span of 1 year or so, we will also start getting access to the government supplies. So, which is currently absolutely untapped by us. While it is there in our nephrology segment where we make the tablets and capsules, because we are own manufacturers, but in the injectables that was not the case. But now with our own manufacturing, that market would also significantly open up, which would give us significant opportunities to grow in this segment. And of course, as I said, the third opportunity is to us become a contract manufacturer. But we also see a lot of potential in our own marketing, and that is the reason we have also started Concord LifeGen, which is only to cater to a certain specific segmentation of the hospital, which we were currently unable to tap, which I said was the government institutions and certain smaller nursing homes, while the larger corporate hospitals and mid corporate hospitals were already being tapped into.
Got it. And on the employee cost, if you can, and then I'll jump back to you. Thank you.
Can you elaborate the question? What is your exact question?
So, this new labor code related, the provision you have made, the 3 crores, right? I believe for the retrospective period, the provision has been made for the employees where the gratuity and the provision, whatever is required, has been provided for. But going forward on the recurring basis, do we expect employee costs to increase a little bit because of that? And if that is the case, if you can quantify the same.
So yes, your understanding is correct. This is a one-time correction that is basically the labor code across the industry and the company. But way forward, it is going to be an incremental normalized cost that we will have.
But it won't be material enough for 10 basis point or 20 basis point increase?
No, that will not be material enough.
Okay, got it. Thank you. I'll jump back.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The first question, our next question comes from the line of Ritika from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for taking my question. So could you give more understanding on how is the CDMO project doing? And we were also in interaction with other projects for CDMO. How is that shaping up?
Yeah, so one of our projects is already commercialized in the US, and we are already in talks to kind of evaluate it to take it to a global level. So different markets are also being evaluated by our partner. But for now, I think it is primarily the US market. And this is basically an NDA product where our client has launch the product in the US. So the first year or so has been primarily about setting up the marketing setup and kind of reaching out to the wholesalers and establishing that that channel. So sales have already started, and what we're looking at is that for the next year, we are looking for further forecasting from them. So discussions are ongoing. So there is a good potential of the product in the US market with the possibility of expanding it to the global market. There are, of course, other discussions happening on other projects as well. But as I mentioned, that the first half of the year was a challenging year because many of the projects were temporarily put on hold because of the uncertainty around the tariffs. But post September, we have again started engaging with them, and I think discussions are now are progressing quite well. We are also meeting these customers in March during GTAC. So, we are confident that there should be some positive movement around some of the products, some of the projects which were at relatively advanced stages of discussion, last year. So, we continue to file a lot of RFQs, primarily in the enzymes, as well as in CMO opportunities for the innovator companies. So, a lot of effort is being put around that, we are seeing positive momentum around this.
So, also, sir, clarity in terms of whether that 100% tariff which was imposed on branded drugs from India to US, does that stay currently?
So, to our understanding, it did not cover the brands which were already launched into the market. We've not read the new fine print, but even in the earlier stages, what we got the clarity around October, November, that it is not going to be impacting the products that have already been launched into the US market. So the customers that, or the clients that we've been talking to already have the products launched into the US market. They are the innovator company. So them shifting the manufacturing to, say, from any other part of the world to India would not be impacting them in any manner. But yeah, for any newer launches, at least, the last that we knew of, it was impacting those clients if they moved their manufacturing out of the US. But again, it's a very dynamic world that we're living in. So there could be potential changes happening, which, we are not right now familiar with. But it doesn't impact already launched branded products in the US.
So lastly, could you help us with what is the CAPEX number that we are looking for this year and ahead?
So CAPEX is primarily, maintenance CAPEX that is going on. And, in terms of number, maybe Raviraj can share more.
So, for the year, generally we have a CAPEX number of around 100-150 crores as a maintenance CAPEX. That's the number generally we have.
Okay, so that's the CAPEX that we are looking to spend for FY26 and ahead of the year.
Yes.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Naman Bagrecha from IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, can you explain in terms of why was there a decline?
Naman, your voice is not on here.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello.
Thank you.
Yes. Just wanted to understand the contraction in gross margins despite, let's say, around 79-80% kind of API revenue contribution. Anything specific that you want to call out?
No, not really. You know, I think this is primarily on account of the product mix. Because if you're looking at it from a quarter-on-quarter basis, but if you look at it from a nine-month basis, actually the gross margin has moved from 77% to 78%. So, you know, on a quarter-on-quarter, it will be difficult to kind of, you know, take a call. And as I mentioned, it is primarily on account of the product mix, which if you, as you extend the time period, that kind of, you know, gets stabilized. And on a nine-month period, we have actually seen an improvement in the gross margins by 100 bits.
Yeah, fair enough. One on formulation business, I believe that 1H FY25 had that Middle East tender or let's say high base, but Q3 this time also we saw mid-teens kind of decline. Anything that you could call out in terms of why there is decline in the formulation business? And then how should one look in terms of the future?
So, you know, I'm not sure if I understood correctly, but what I understand is that, you know, the formulation business, you're seeing that there is slightly a reduction compared to the last year. Is that what you're asking?
Yes, yes. YOY basis, there is 14% decline in the formulation business. My belief was that the Middle East tender was stopped or halted in first half of FY25. So there won't be any base impact or any these issues in the third quarter of FY26. But despite that, you see a decline in the formulation business. So what really is what are the challenges?
No. I think the way that one needs to look at on a quarter on quarter is that there could be areas that we have kind of addressed through the API. So and you know that gets reflected in our API numbers, which grew at 24%, because there are certain opportunities that would have been captured through the API rather than through the formulation. And this is primarily coming in the emerging markets, because in the India market as well as in the US market, the sales volumes have increased. But in the emerging markets where we are not able to, say, gain opportunities through the API, only that is where we kind of look through the formulation route. But if that is getting addressed through API, which in this quarter you are seeing with this growth on the API, then it has some bit of an impact on the formulations.
Coming to the API business, so you highlighted around 20-25 crore of sales deferment in 2Q. So has this been captured fully in 3Q?
So that has been fully captured, which was on account of the written confirmation. That was to the tune of around 20-25 crores, which actually during our last call only that sales had already been executed, because it happened somewhere in early November or so. So that sales to that customers already started to build on. Because it was only because they were only awaiting the certification. Once that certification was there, then the sales started to pick up with them.
But if I X out, I mean adjust that, and largely if you see quarter on quarter, that is the growth for the API business. So the base business still has not, let's say, really grown if I adjust for that.
No, you will not be able to take that out, Naman, because it is not that in this particular quarter that those customers have picked up double the quantity that they would want it. So it's not that, what it does is it kind of gradually spills over a little bit into the slowly release into the subsequent quarters. Because if they picked up something that instead of say July, August, they are now picked up in October, November, so it will take time for them to consume those quantities. It is not that they picked up in November and they will again pick it up in December, the 20 crores. So that does have a little bit of spillover happening. So it may not be the right way to kind of look at it, that if we consider the growth minus that number, then the growth is a different number. That could not be the right way to look at the numbers.
And on the margin front, this time we'll call out Stellon setup cost as well. So could you provide what were the injectable plant losses for the quarter and what were the setup costs related to Stellon?
The injectables would be close to around 10 to 12 crores and the Stellon cost would range anywhere between 5 to 10 crores per quarter.
Okay, 5 to 10 crores.
5 to 10 crores per quarter.
So, do we expect this 5 to 10 crore cost to increase from here on? Or this is, this is the base and here, from here on, we'll start seeing revenue for this.
The procedure of already getting the licenses for the US business is already completed. I think now we are gearing up for the launch activity. So in subsequent few months or so, we should start seeing the launch happening. So there would be sales realizations coming from Stellon because we are not doing not only for Concord products, but they would also be looking at in-licensing opportunities. There would be certain costs which probably we were incurring right now with third parties, which would now be done through Stellon. So, there could be some cost which kind of gets compensated because of the reduction that we may end up seeing with our third party distributor, current marketing partner. As I think business with Stellon would grow, these costs would then be accordingly taken care of.
Any target in mind in terms of we'll be moving away from the distributor and completely sell everything from this facility itself, or there will be a mix of third party and channel?
So in licensing opportunities are going to be, in the near future, because as I said, that since right now we just established and the approvals for the licenses are coming. So the in-licensing opportunities are going to be somewhat of a medium-term roadmap. But, till that time, all the dossiers that Concord has, the supplies are going to be from Concord to Stellon. There are a few ANDAs which currently our current marketing partner is not marketing those products. So they are immediately going to go to Stellon for marketing. That is going to lead to the sales increase for those products in the US.
Products
will be manufactured till that time in Concord, till the time in licensing opportunities, which are a medium term, do not get executed.
On the previous participant's question on the US CDMO opportunity, is this that animal health product or this is something else?
No, these are human products. So we have five ANDAs, which...
I'm not talking about either ANDA, I'm talking about the CDMO opportunity.
Oh, CDMO, okay. Yeah, that is an animal product, yeah.
Animal health product, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I have more questions. I'll get back into the queue.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address all the questions from the participant, we request you to kindly limit your question to 2 questions per participant. If you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Our next question comes from the line of Sumit Gupta from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. So first question is on, like you mentioned, increased engagement on second source supply, post clarity on US tariffs. So are these discussions largely with the existing customers or do you innovators or generic players? And what is the kind of conversion timeline that one should expect?
So I think engagement is going on both fronts. You know, most of the discussions that we are doing is where we've already had some level of engagement on other products with those customers, and you know, that also gives us an opportunity to engage a lot more on the newer products or the second source opportunities. Secondly, also certain markets, you know, the customers have started looking at us as whom we were not engaging with them in the past. Say, for example, nystatin, which is an anti-infective product, it has a slightly different customer base as well. So under in those cases, those are relatively newer customers for Concord as well. You know, most of those are newer customers. Of course, we have few Indian customers wherein we already have established relationships, and you know, that is helping us to kind of engage with them on these newer products as well. So I would say it is a mix of both. We do have a couple of products at the API level, which is our own API, where we are engaging with the innovators. And I expect that maybe one of those projects hopefully will commercialize in this quarter. And hopefully with another one, we would take some validation batches, at least if not in this quarter, in the next quarter. So I know of at least two are there where, you know, the engagement level with the innovators are, they are relatively newer products and engagement levels are quite at an advanced stage. We have also actually to add on, you know, commercialize one anti-infective product with one of the innovator companies as well. The supplies may not look much in this quarter because they've just started picking up, but I think we have a good level of engagement visibility over the next year's time with them.
Understood. So how should we see the Q4, the exit run rate, or as we enter FY27, especially in the APIs? And second on the, how should we see the formulation segment over the next 2 to 3 years?
See, I mean, giving exact numbers for quarter four will be, you know, would be difficult. But as I said that, you know, there has been an uptick in revenues and, you know, we are optimistic of the improved performances in Q4. But difficult to put a number, you know, to how things are going to be in Q4. But yeah, I think given the optimism which is there and given that we are getting a lot of second source opportunities, we are optimistic of the growth rate for Q4.
Understood, sir. And there was a question on formulations also. So how should we see that over the medium term?
Yeah, so I think formulation also will have a big drive, growth driver, because you know, when to answer Chintan's question, which was there, that, you know, in the past that injectables, when I answered to his question that injectables, we are looking at a 6% growth contribution to the revenues over the baseline of 18%. And that is a facility which has recently got commercialized, got its WHO GMP also. So we are now engaging with a lot of customers to kind of get that facility qualified for them. So in the next 1 to 2 years, we should see good level of growth coming in from not only our own branded generics, but also as a contract manufacturing partner, because no company in India has its own fermentation API as well as you know, injectable formulation. Even the API companies who are importing the product or exporting the products to India, they are also pure API companies only. They don't have their own formulations. So there is no company like Concord which would have this mix of fermentation, APIs and finished formulation, which should give us a good competitive edge for our products as well as for contract manufacturing. So, you know, over a medium term, I think injectables would would play out quite well or should play out quite well. And then from a medium to long-term perspective is where we would start seeing growth coming in from the emerging markets with the registration processes going through. And that should kind of also help growth in the medium to a longer-term perspective. So, you know, we are seeing good traction coming in from the injectable side. And what we're doing with Stellon and with newer dossiers being filed in global markets, that would help us drive growth in the oral solid, opportunity as well. So that's how at least we look at the formulation business over the next 2 to 3 years.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Alankar Garude from Kotak Mahindra Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Ankur, do you still expect to grow overall sales in FY26?
So as I said, Alankar, in my previous response, that difficult to give you a number in terms of what the growth is going to be looking like. But yes, I think the way that we are progressing, the second half looks to be much better. We have already seen how quarter three is doing. We are optimistic of quarter four. We have a good order book position. We are continuing to build on that over the next one and a half months that we have and deliver those quantities and sales to our customers. But putting a number there would be challenging for me.
Okay. I asked this, Ankur, because you had said that there would be growth at overall level in FY26. But okay, I take your point. Second question is, can you broadly break down the API growth across pricing, volumes, and new launches for 9-month FY26?
So if you see, the launches that happened in last year were only for two products, which was Nystatin and Voclosporin. These two products, one is a Para IV product, the other is a generic product where, there are only three players, primarily three players in the global market. And both of those two players are based out of Europe. So that gives us a lot of advantage to kind of become a leader on that particular anti-infective product. And we have already started seeing good traction coming on those products. We have started supplying validation quantities and exhibit batch quantities to our customers, and they have filed also. So hopefully in the next year, we should start seeing commercial sales happening to these customers across global markets. But for this year, it has been primarily supplies of exhibit and validation batch quantities, which on a number basis, it may not be that significant a number. But much of the growth, as I said, is coming from our already commercialized 28, 29 products which are there. These two products that have got launched have seen more of validation and exhibit batch quantity which supplied in this year.
Within those 28, 29 existing molecules, how would you break the growth between volumes and pricing? Just a qualitative response should suffice.
So here it has been all volume growth only. I mean, being in the kind of, while I would say that in fermentation product where the kind of competition that we have, there are only maybe two or three players on the market. But in spite of that, I don't think that you can go with the pricing increase. So it has been mostly or majorly a volume game rather than a price increase. Way of growing.
As pricing decline, Ankur, if I look at 9-month FY26 for the API business, can it be as high as a double-digit pricing decline or more likely in the single-digit range?
If it would have been a double-digit price decline, then the gross margins would not have increased by 100 bps.
Okay, so more in the single digit range, would that be a safe number to look at?
See, again, it depends, Alankar, on a product to product and customer to customer. Sometimes, as I said earlier also in our previous discussions, you give certain discounts to certain customers for larger growth in other products and all. So we have more than 300 customers. So if we end up giving some customers some discounting in anticipation of newer businesses, I would say that to be in single digits, not because of pricing pressure, but because of larger opportunities to address to. Is how I would put it.
Got it. And a couple of smaller questions. Firstly, did you recognize any revenues from the injectable facility at all in the third quarter?
No, insignificant. Because it's been primarily the exhibit batches that we took, which were supplied to the India market, because you have to go with the 6 month stability and other things. So if we did that, we commercialized the facility in March. So with 6 months of data also, you end up being in September. So October, November, December did see supplies of those validation batches, but it is insignificant in the overall revenue mix.
Fair enough. What was the share of immunosuppressant APIs to the overall API sales mix in 9 months?
So, what we would look at is that for the 77-78% of the API business, it would be closer to around 70-75%, which has been historically been the case. So there has not been any major change in the mix between immunosuppressants and anti-infectives and other segments. So I'm happy to see that the other segments are also growing in terms of volume. Because, I did mention that we are trying to work with the innovators in the anti-infective segment as well. So there is a lot of growth momentum which is coming in the non-immuno segment as well, while immuno segment continues to build and kind of, stay strong there. So the mix has been relatively more or less the same as it had been last year or last 9 months.
Understood. And the final question, capacity utilizations, please, for Unit 1, Unit 2, and Unit 3.
Yeah. Hi. So for the quarter, the Unit 1 was at 81%. Unit 3 was at 40%. And Unit 2 was at 27%.
Got it. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Chintan Shah from JM Financial Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So I had three questions. So one is, continuing from the previous participant, if you can just comment more on your non-immunosuppressant portfolio, basically what is the strategy there, the competitive intensity that is happening, and over a longer term, how do you see the mix evolve? That is the first question. Second is, wanted to do a bit more understanding on R&D side, basically now since we are looking to go aggressive on CDMO side. So how are we, looking to ramp up our R&D operations? That's the second question. And third, I think we see a good amount of cash balance building up on our balance sheet, and now the majority of CapEx we are done through. So are we actively looking at any inorganic opportunities to probably add to our portfolio and grow more? So those are my three questions. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. So, as I answered earlier, that for the 9 months, we've seen that the mix has been more or less similar, while volume growths are also happening in the anti-infectives, antifungal, and onco segment. Now, even the newer products that we have, the ones that are there in the pipeline, all of them are in the anti-infectives, antifungal, and onco segment. And the underlying principle of the, they are again products where you would see limited competition, and they are complex and niche products. So like the ones that we launched last year, like Nystatin, as I mentioned earlier, there were only three players, Concord being one of them. We have few products which are there in the pipeline right now, where there are again, maximum two or four players. So, and most of them, as one would see, are either from Southeast Asia or Europe. We have one product which is in pipeline, which is where you have good competition from China. But the way that we are developing that product, the cost competitiveness is also significantly lower than that of China's cost. So, you know, we have a lot of products where we are actually selling our APIs into the China market. It's not that this is one such product. We have many products where we are much, much more competitive than even the Chinese manufacturers. You know, to answer your question, the newer set of products which are there, there is the base principle remains the same as it has been for the immunosuppressants. And it is just that it has seen a much smaller time to kind of, you know, gain market share. But many of these products are gaining market share as we speak. It's just a matter of time till the time, you know, till it reaches to the numbers that you would have seen in our other segments. So that's how, you know, we would look at the non-immuno segment. When we talk about the R&D and CDMO, we have more than 100 scientists which are working in the R&D. So, you know, the team is continuously working on new products development as well as the CDMO opportunity. And, you know, once any newer project comes in, each customer is assigned a project leader who works very closely with that customer. So, here it is more about the expertise which is there rather than the cost that gets loaded onto. That's why you would see that our R&D cost typically stays 2 to 3%, which is significantly lower than the cost which many of the formulation companies would see. Because it is more of an expertise and a skill-driven rather than a scale-driven developmental cost. So, but, you know, if we do feel the need at any point of time to ramp up our people, you know, that is not a challenge at our end. But at least for now, you know, we are not seeing any reasons to kind of go towards that path. I think we have a good mix of PhDs and R&D scientists who are working on these products. To answer your third question, that, you know, while we have a good healthy cash position, we are looking at different opportunities, and I would say those opportunities are being looked not only organically but also inorganically. You know, there are fewer opportunities that we are continuing to look at inorganically, and there are few opportunities that we are evaluating if kind of look it from to grow in adjacencies of fermentation to take it organically as well. So, you know, both the two options are there on the table to kind of see that how we can optimally utilize this cash flow.
Okay, great. Thank you, Ankur. That was very detailed and helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to the time constraint, we will now take the last question for today's conference, and that comes from Mr. Chintan Seth from Greek Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up opportunity. Just clarification on the capex, maintenance capex number which you mentioned, you know, that's 100-150 crore annually. On an asset base or gross block of 1100 or last year, it looks, seems to be pretty high. We used to give guidance around 20-25 crore earlier. So I'm just trying to understand whether why the increase in maintenance part. And second is on the cash balance which you mentioned. It, is it 1298 crores as of December? That's the number you mentioned. That these are the two. Sorry.
Yeah. So you know, of course, you're right. You know, there is a level of maintenance capex across you know, which is close to around 30-40 crores. We also have some capex which is going for certain newer projects that we are trying to build on with some of our customers, and certain opportunities to kind of grow over the next year. So there is some bit of capex happening around there in addition to the maintenance capex.
So it's a blend of growth and maintenance, is it? 100-150 of course. Okay. And the cash balance is 1290 odd or 1290.
The investment is 340 crore.
The total cash in.
The investment is 340 crores.
Okay. Sorry, I lost your voice. Hello.
Yeah, so it would be close. There is a correction there. So it is close to 350 crores.
Total cash and cash equivalent will be 350 odd crores, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question for today. I would like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Thank you and over to you, team.
So thank you everyone for joining on our Q3 and 9-month FY26 earnings call. We hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, please get in touch with us or SGA, our investor relation advisors. Thank you once again and have a good evening. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.